Luke chapter 6, verse 41, 42. We're in the last part of it where it says, "Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shall thou see clearly to pull the mote that is in thy brother's eye." We studied cast out, ekbalo. It means to exile or banish. It means to go to the bathroom too. But let's go to Revelation 11. The temple, as it stood in Jerusalem, both Solomon's temple, and Zerubbabel's temple, and Herod's temple, Solomon's temple was the smallest, but even it had a court. It's called the court of the Gentiles, then it was the court of women, then it was the court of Israel, then it was the court of priests, and then it was the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. So there was a progression. Now, the description of the temple, remember, for the whole complex, the Greek word for the temple was hieron. And so let's see what happens here. "And there was given to me," in verse 11, chapter 11, "and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Raise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it was given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread 40 underfoot 42 months. Now, they didn't measure. It said leave off the court of Gentiles, because there's no more Gentiles. "And they shall tread 42 months, 3.5 years. And that's the last opportunity the Gentiles had, the Gentiles that converted to Judaism had, because it was 3.5 years or 42 months from the baptism of Christ to his crucifixion. And that 42 months it's sort of a floating 42 months. It's a mystical thing, and it's the time from which you understand that you start believing in Christ till you live by the faith of Christ. It's the many, many, many other symbols. But, well, that's enough for that one. Let's go back to Luke. Verse 43. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes." Now, there's this tree business. Let's look and see how it's used as a metaphor. Let's go to Matthew 3:10. Mr. Rutledge, or the Buckner's, is Gary back?
No, he was going to come back sometime today.
Let me just set the scene again. For hundreds of years, the Jews had baptized. And they baptized, it was a mikvah. And they baptized during the between the feast of Yom of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the days of awe. And John the Baptist just blew everybody's mind because their idea of baptism was a washing of the body. And John's idea of baptism was totally new. It was their burial. And so the metaphor, to make it complete, the Jews that wanted to be baptized, he caused them to cross over the Jordan and stand on the other side of the river, signifying that they weren't worthy to enter the kingdom of God. And he called them one at a time across the Jordan. Remember, as we do, they go into the fetal position and come out. He didn't dunk them. But that baptism was, he caused the oblation to cease, is what it says in Daniel. And that's, again, the 3.5 years. And let's, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, and the idea that they came to his baptism not to be baptized, but to watch, to see. And there's a report that was made back to the Sanhedrin, and that's, I think, what John recorded in the second chapter of John. But anyway, he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, and he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet, or necessary for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, or to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now the axe then from at the baptism of Christ, the axe was laid to the root of the human race. The trees are the human root. You understand that? The trees are the human race. And the axe was laid to the root of the human race. That means the fruit that a human being brings forth cannot be good fruit. It is by definition corrupt. Because everything that's brought, and corrupt just means time dependent. It decays with time. And so everything that a human being does, no matter how worthy, no matter how wonderful, no matter how self-fulfilling, no matter how much he's lauded, is corrupt from God's standpoint. Everybody understand that? There's nothing that the human being can do to please God except die.
Which we are already dead.
Well, yeah, but you have to know it. You have to live it. You can't just say it philosophically.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say
it. All right. Now, let's go to Mark 8. See the same, a little bit different. No, that's the way to go there. Let's go to Jude 1. Let's go to Jude.
Where is Jude?
Just before Revelation. Now, what happens if you lay an axe to the root of a tree?
You kill it.
Yeah, but the first thing that you see is that whatever fruit is on the tree withers. Okay, so watch what Jude says. Verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke you, thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But that which they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, and therefore without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. No matter what it looks like to the flesh, no matter how great and how wonderful an idea it is, there can be nothing, there's nothing that you can do from God's standpoint that will bring forth fruit. Except He alone brings forth fruit. So when we're studying this, the good tree is Jesus Christ. The evil tree is you. The good tree brings forth by its nature fruit that is, from God's standpoint, good. The bad tree, you, bringeth forth corrupt fruit. Now, unless you understand that as the predicate, then... Now we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures about these trees in the Old Testament as a prophecy. So let's go to Deuteronomy 2:12. By the way, the word fruit is karpos, and it means that which originates from something by its own nature. Now, the parable, all of them about trees, olive trees bring forth olives, fig trees bring forth figs, orange trees bring forth oranges, etc., etc., right? So what does the human race as a tree bring forth?
Corruption.
But it's corruption, no matter how good you think of it, because what you have to understand is corruption means denigrates with time, rots or rusts, if you will. Okay? So unless this is understood, you're going to always be deceived by some idea in your mind. Right?
And the opposite of that is the fruit of the Spirit, which is the real thing.
Right.
Earthly fruit, human fruit. The minute it comes off, the branch starts rotting.
All right, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you shall live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountain and upon the hills and under every green tree. Now, what is the metaphor then? What is a green tree besides a human being? How are we committing fornication under every green tree? What you're doing is you're going to some place other than God for your sustenance. And you, by definition, if you go to an idea or some place in your mind, it's the idea is luxurious to you. As Gary used to say, it was a sweet idea. It seems luxurious. It'll solve the issues. It'll make money. It'll do this or it'll do that. But God says that's a corrupt tree. And He will not honor it. In fact, by definition, you will make the Holy Spirit your enemy. No matter what it is. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's go to 1 Kings 14. All right. Starting verse 21. Now what's happening here, in every, just about every other generation throughout the history of Israel, they had reform, they understood, they saw the mystery, and then in one generation it was defiled. And so now this talks about the Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, in verse 21, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the cities of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Amorite, an Ammonite, an Ammonitess. Now, again, we're just a few years beyond Solomon, the greatest of all the kings of Israel. One generation. And verse 22, and Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. I used to make fun of Mr. Boja when we drove to Oklahoma all the time. And there's a place you drive through and it's nothing but trees between here and Oklahoma City. And I'd ask him, under which of those trees haven't you committed fornication? And he got a little upset with me. Just a little bit. But don't you understand? Do you understand what we're talking about here? What does it mean? Under every high, it says, they built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Now it's a green tree because it's an idea that you have that will bring your definition of success. You understand that? And you've done it your whole life. That's all you've done. Let's look again.
What does jealousy mean in verse 22? Well, how's it used here?
In verse 22? No. In verse 20, oh yeah, in the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy, which are sins. Well, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want you to go to any place but him for your sustenance and satisfaction, for your life, for everything, for your worth. Go nowhere else but him. And his jealousy, for our God is a jealous God. Right? All right, let's go to chapter 17, 2 Kings chapter 17. No, it's chapter 16. Now, Ahaz was one of the worst kings of Judah, but anyway. In chapter 16, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his sons to pass through fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now, unless you see this is what you do, this is just history. Let's go to chapter 17 of 2 Kings. verse 9. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, and did as the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do yet this, do this thing. So again, it's again and again and again in the history of Israel. Can you understand this is all your mind can do? This isn't a history lesson on some pagan practices of an ancient people. It's what you do on a daily basis. You do it.
You can't?
Because I'm a habitual ruminator.
That's not an answer. Let's go to Isaiah 57. We're reading, this is the Buckner chapter.
Yeah, he loves this chapter.
Isaiah 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth to heart. Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Now that's talking about the seed of Christ. But draw near here, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed, even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them, and thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfume, and did send thy messengers afar off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. Well, let's read a little bit more. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let the companies deliver thee, and let all your associates and all your high place guys deliver you. But the wind shall carry them all away, and vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. and shall say, cast you up, cast you up. Prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Let's go to Jeremiah 2. Verse 12. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a bond, home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelped, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitants. Also the children of Noph and Terephines, Tahapanhes, I can't even talk, have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? And that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke, and burst thy bands. And thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine? Anyway, it goes on and on and on and on and on. The problem in our society is that going under every up under the high hills and under every green tree is admired above almost everything else. You're taught to do this from childhood, and then you then pass your children through the same fires of Moloch. And so we can't conceive of a life without going up to the high places. That's why the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Because something has to come upon you that is so violent that it will destroy those high places and green trees forever. So there's no tendency to return up to the mountain or the high place of your mind for solutions. And that's what Christ is talking about it, but back in Luke. The good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and the corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. There's no matter how many green trees you plant, they're all corrupt, because they come not from eternity. This should put the fear of God in you. If it doesn't, something's wrong with you.
It's almost like the whole story of the Bible. Just when we get talking about these things, you know, it starts with a tree. You know, it ends with a tree. It gives fruit to the people that, you know, it's the only tree.
Amen.
As the alternative to all these other green trees that...
The tree of life is the cross. Yeah. Who could have conceived it?
You know, it does put the fear of God in me. It's like, I wish I hadn't came over here.
Okay. Well, then why don't you just quit coming?
No.
This is why when we read in Zephaniah, the first chapter, which says that you should conduct your life always as if today was the judgment day. The next second was the judgment seat. And we studied Hezekiah and Josiah's Passover and found why those Passovers were so great. Because they destroyed every one of the high places and cut down every green tree. And they stopped idolatry. And we continue it. And not only continue it, we sanctify it. Well, what shall this man do? Wait on God. Never change. Anybody have any other response from this table? Bojo's? Pete?
It's like revenge of the disobedience is the same as saying, agreeing that the axe has been laid to the root of the tree.
Amen.
You're just applying it to yourself, whatever you see.
Yes.
Bring every thought into captivity, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. There's no thought that can stand against it is finished. Well, how do I live then? You wait on Him. What are you thinking, Mr. Chisholm?
Waiting. Waiting is there's a lot of barriers, roadblocks, and fences in my mind to waiting. But I'm beginning to realize that or recognize what waiting is.
All right, tell me, big guy.